episode 332, November 20th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We assume that you're sitting at the dinner table with your family listening to this week's episode of the Rob and Joe Show. It's a Thanksgiving tradition.
Well, if this show gets out on Wednesday when it's supposed to get out, they may be on their way to seeing me and you and Justin Schlegel at the Rams Head in Annapolis.
Let's hope so, because I think we're going to have a pretty packed house. It's we did the show. You were actually... Were you on the Comedy Factory show last Thanksgiving Eve? Was that where you were?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I did the show with Jason Weems and Tommy Simbazo, and it was a great time last Thanksgiving Eve. I expect the same this time. Justin Schlegel, myself, Frankie French, the stuttering comic, Donnie Singstack, and you, Joe Robinson. You, a rare Joe Robinson comedic performance.
Yeah, I'll be doing 20 minutes. It's not just me showing up. I'm going to do some time.
Yeah. Do you think our new best friend Vince will show up? Vince, who came to our murder mystery at the Jam and Java, we met him, I want to say 2 years ago in Arlington at the Draft House doing our Christmas murder mystery. He's the guy that we signed the back of his iPhone. We has a new phone. So, we went ahead and signed the new one.
Robbie signs his autograph, Robbie. He doesn't write his last name. Like he's Oprah. Cher, Madonna, Robbie.
That fits. Well, in it's probably the interest of space, but Vince is a new Patreon.
Robbie, can you explain that, Robbie?
For that person, my name was going to be between your two names. I thought it was self-explanatory.
Okay. So that's
fair. It is self-explanatory, but if it's a value, an autograph's a value, you can't just write, you have to have the last name.
No, the value, if you watch Antiques Roadshow, is to have all the Beatles signatures on the same object. So, so if it's you guys and then I'm in the middle, that's like it can't get any better than that.
No,
the only thing
really
is you can have Marcus take a spot in the corner.
So if it said maybe. John, Paul, George, and Ringo instead of John Lennon, Paul McCartney, there's no difference.
No, if you have all four Beatles signature and then John just writes John, it's the same thing. You know him. You know that John is in context.
Well, you're no John Lennon. Let's be serious.
No, I'm not.
Can we get someone to appraise his iPhone now? I want to know the value now that we have. We met his wife. He introduced his wife as not Chinese.
Yes.
Because I guess she's half Chinese.
Yes.
But do you do that, Robbie? Do you introduce your girlfriend as not Chinese?
No, I do.
All Taiwanese.
No, she is Chinese.
She's Taiwanese. Big difference, is there?
She speaks Chinese. She does. She is not Chinese.
Maybe you two should double date.
Yes, his girlfriend does not speak Mandarin. She speaks as much Mandarin as I do.
Oh. I believe that's his wife, right? I mean, that's his wife.
It's a very attractive woman. Good job, Vince. Enough about you. A lot to talk about. You know what? I teased it. If you follow us on Twitter and on Facebook, I went ahead and teased the new Gramps story. I gave you a taste of it. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it. You know what? Not going to make you wait.
Thank you.
We're all thankful for you guys, so we're going to get right to it. As you know, Gramps has been emailing me stories directly, and here it is verbatim. I have long forgotten this story because it happened 40 years ago when I worked in Washington, D.C. I was given a referral and went to the address I was given on New York Avenue. When I knocked, the door opened and a young woman stood there with a towel draped across her breast. The address was wrong and the person I was to see didn't live there. I started to leave, then turned back and asked if she wanted to talk to me about insurance. She said she did and let me in. As she walked into the apartment, the towel fell to the floor and I saw the largest breasts I have ever seen. They would have each filled up a bushel basket. Said, "I'm sorry." She said, "No, that's okay." And sat down, leaving the towel on the floor. We talked about an insurance plan and made an appointment for a later date. I'm sure she's proud of what she was showing. Large breasts may be sexy, but breasts that size are not. I'm certain that I will never see a woman with that size breast in my life again, and I'm glad I won't.
Gramps. I mean, in person. You can clearly go on the internet and find. You just Google world's largest breasts.
Or just look at his inbox of messages he's been sent from clients. So
what's interesting about the story, the most interesting part is that he kept trying to sell her insurance.
Yes.
He didn't get. He's singularly focused. And that is to, you know, it's like the Alec Baldwin character in Glengarry Glen Ross. Yes. You have one job, sign on the line that is dotted. Always Gramps be closing. Always.
Oh, can we get Gramps to do that? Can we reshoot that scene as Gramps as Alec Baldwin?
And the whole everyone sitting in the audience is just women without their shirts on.
Yeah. So he sees this woman. The second he goes in and she drops the towel to the floor. I mean, that's clearly an invitation, right?
Well, in that situation,
more than talk insurance.
There's two things that you can do. You can either leave or you can have sex with this person. Those are your two options. There's no gray area. You leave or you have sex with this person. Now, of course, in the story, and I think he buried the lead, right, is that he's kept on trying to sell her insurance.
Yes.
Now, I want to know, did he sell it? Now, he's in chat right now. Maybe we can get an answer from him while we're trying to figure this out. But if he sold her the insurance, that's the story, not the giant tits. I've seen giant tits everywhere. What I want to know is, did she get a policy? That's the important thing to find out.
Well, he said we talked about a plan and then made an appointment for a later date. So did the appointment, did he follow through? Did it happen? Did he close the deal? Is Gramps in chat? Can he shed
some
light on this?
What was she wearing at the time?
He didn't sell her anything, he said.
He didn't.
Did he come back for the appointment? Did he have another appointment, or was that the end of it?
Well, it said it never worked. I'm not sure how that what that means, but maybe he was never able to actually sit back down with her. Maybe she was insulted.
She's naked. You're like, so you want term life? What are you looking at here? I mean, are you a smoker? I mean, what? Yeah.
If you're the woman with the giant breast, aren't you like, what the fuck's your problem? Yeah. You're really trying to still sell me insurance?
Yeah, she didn't want insurance. She wanted something else.
Yeah, and this is the 1970s. That seems, I don't know, does that make it more likely she wanted sex or less likely compared to today?
Well, what was that girl, Robbie, on, her name last name was Hart, I think, on Entertainment Tonight that insured her legs for like $10 million.
Mary Hart.
That's it, Mary Hart. Maybe he could have insured this woman's breasts.
I don't think he sold that kind of insurance.
Robbie, I want you to find this woman, get her on the show.
By the way, back then, now we're talking 40 years ago, my dad was actually good looking back then. In fact, my girlfriends told me that my father was better looking than me back then.
Hey, actually, good looking, he's listening. You're basically taking a shit on him.
He's a good-looking man right now.
Now, Gramps is in chat saying, all I wanted to do was escape, which is clearly not true. in the story, he made an appointment with her. That's not all he wanted to do. By the way, you could say it's a bad time and leave. What do you think, he's going to offend her?
His words, I started to leave, then turned back and asked if she wanted to talk to me about insurance. She said she didn't let me in. As she walked into the apartment, the towel fell to the floor. Then he kept talking. He didn't leave.
Yeah, no. So he's that's actually not true when he says all I wanted to do was escape, meaning escape into the world of insurance sales. That's what he wanted. That was his escape.
How many conversations have you had, real conversations, with a woman that was naked that didn't involve you being in a strip club and didn't involve you're about to have sex or you're trying to?
Zero.
Right. what would you talk about? So how was your day? So yeah, well,
everyone in the world's number is zero, and then there's a top 0.1 percentile that's had one. That's it. Unless you're the manager of a strip club, everybody's dressed when you talk to them.
Yeah, that's not true. I've been to places where people are nude.
Oh, I forgot. Robbie's going to those bathhouses where with his father-in-law or whatever.
Well,
with their gray pubes out.
And I've also been to a nude beach, and I've also been to a music festival kind of situation where it's on a river and people would jump in the naked.
Okay, but I've been to nudist resort too. That doesn't count because this is just you're having a business meeting in someone's house. That's a strip club or some nudist resort, that's the nudity is part of the deal. So I don't think that totally counts. But, a little tease for our bonus show we just did. We talked about somebody having a weird sex act, and we were trying to guess what it was. Maybe this person tried to sell the girl insurance. Maybe that was the
thing. Yes, that's right. Listen, you got to be a Patreon to understand that reference.
A lot of good Mac Bergson stuff on the bonus, so... If you're a big Mac fan, maybe now's the time to pony up $5. All right. Big show today. We did the Jam in Java. Our first time at that venue. It's in Vienna, Virginia. It's about 10 miles outside, 15 maybe, of Washington, D.C. It's a music venue primarily. There was a little thing that happened afterwards. If you want to hear that drama, that's on the bonus show. But it was a great show. There was one little issue in that it was billed, I guess, incorrectly on all of our parts as a all audiences show. Now, you would think that a back to the 80s theme would probably deter anyone who, has no idea, who the Thompson twins are and never seen the show Chips. But apparently that didn't deter some people. As a matter of fact, I would say the prime table that you could have in there, dead front center table of eight was a mother, and I'm assuming her daughter and her daughter's friends who were all in high school. Was that accurate?
Oh, maybe. If they were in high school and they just got there, they're just learning the hallways in their new classes. They're making new friends.
Right. So
yeah, hold on. Let me say one thing. Before the show started, about 2 days before, one of the managers sent me an email and said, hey, is this show appropriate for a seventh grader? And I immediately responded and say, absolutely not. This show is adult themed and referenced. So it never occurred to me that this would be a concern. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. And to be honest, any comedy show, even if it's clean, it's not suitable for a seventh grader. Because it's just there's reference. There are things you're talking about that they're not going to understand. But anyway, it's also in those situations that. And I think this led to the beginning of the show being a little weird. They act different around younger people than they would people their own age in terms of what they're going to laugh at and their comfortability to go places with jokes. So there's we talk a lot about Eric Woodworth, getting naked or half naked. So, there is a big moment in the show about a third of the way into it where if you've seen the movie Flashdance, you understand the scene. There's the girl and the main actress and the leotard dancing.
Jennifer Beal.
Yeah, she's, drop dead gorgeous, pours water on herself. It's a whole big thing. So we reenact that, and there's a big buildup where Eric slowly undresses. And as he, gets into the leotard, that entire table gets up and leaves.
Well, what was funny, he'd never done this before, and he'll probably do this moving forward because it was so funny. He took off his shirt, and they're standing there in the top of a leotard. And then he reaches down to undo his pants and everybody starts cheering. And then he goes like he, like it was a joke, like he's going to put them back on. And then he takes them off. So the table up front is like, wait a minute. What's happening here? And then it, you almost saw this relief as he went to put them back on. And then he's like, no, fuck that. And off they came. And they got, now, first of all, every phone in the room, I actually tried to get a picture of it, but since I'm such an old man, I couldn't react quickly enough. But I wanted to get a picture of the crowd looking at Eric, because there was about 40 phones out, like, we're going to capture this shit for, you know, for posterity. So people were loving it. But as soon as his pants came off that table, she's like, let's go. Everybody gets up right in the middle of the show. Front and center, boom, they're out of there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, I mean, how must Eric feel? I mean, he takes his clothes off and just eight people just say, no, we can't see this.
Is where the line is drawn. This is too much. Everything was okay up until now. No, we knew there was trouble. Every single time a word was said, Justin went on at the beginning when there's a line where the a lady has to read the line from Ferris Bueller where Grace, the secretary, says, you know, all the people that love Ferris Bueller, the sportos, the dweebies, all those people. But one of them is the dickheads. And this lady read this so librarian-like, right? So he goes on and on about hearing her say dickhead and how hilarious it was. Well, these people at this table, they probably just heard dickhead for the first time like a week ago. Now they're hearing it said over and over and over again. Every time they did, I saw like their mouths agape. Like, where, what happened? Are we supposed to be here? Is this okay? And it ends up that it was not.
I wish we had that part on video, because that was a great moment in the show. And it really, it would be a great moment to show people, because it doesn't give anything away, but it also sort of encapsulates the vibe of the show and the brilliance of one Justin Schlegel. But it ended up being a great show. We got through that and it ended spectacularly. And on last week's episode, remember, we Robbie texted, you know, his only black friend, Phil. And Phil texted back afterwards that, yes, he would come to the show. And, we're getting ready.
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was saying, you know, I'd sort of forgotten that had happened. You know, because in the pre-show, you're doing all these things. And then it did dawn on me in the middle that, hey, is Black Phil here? And then I believe you walked. Was it you that were walking? Was it you or Joe or Robbie that had him by on your side and walked up to me?
Well, Robbie's the one who came, hey, meet Black Phil. But I had already met Black Phil. And let me tell you why. Because first of all, Black Phil's a real black guy. He's not the guy I thought was coming.
No.
He's an actual black guy, which I never would have met, guessed in a million years. My brother would have, I mean, you knew what black guy you thought was coming, right? You thought, yeah, Brian Gumbel was walking in, but it wasn't. Yes. It was a real black person. One of the dead giveaways is he missed half the show. He came walking in halfway through the show. He doesn't even know what's going on. And he says to me, he said, hey, we just got here. Can we sit there? He points to the seat, the table that's now empty.
Yes.
And of course,
yes,
I know that he can. So of course, I said, are you Black Phil? He goes, yeah. I said, I'm Joe. I'm Robbie's brother, right?
Phil?
Yeah. He goes, I am Black Phil. So we exchanged pleasantries. And I said, go right up there. They're never coming back. Probably ever. They're probably never going to see another show here. So they sat right dead front and center, Black Phil and his girlfriend.
And then there was a moment in the end where Justin referenced her singing. You know, there's a little sing-along portion, and talked about, and then she started talking about how there's no black people in Montgomery County or something, and then she just took over basically for about a minute there, and they fit right in. And then this was so funny afterwards. You know, I take a picture of Joe and Black Phil. Tommy comes up to Phil and says, hey, Black Phil, heard a lot about you.
By the way, Robbie has not texted him since May.
Right. What is this guy thinking? It's not like, I've heard about you a lot is one thing. I've heard a lot about you. No, you haven't. You know that he's Robbie's friend. His name's Philly's Black. That's all you know about him.
It's all you know. It's like Gramps. He probably thinks that Robbie talks about Phil the way Gramps talks about Mac Bergson.
That's impossible.
Yeah. It's a lot. When I walked out of my room, I'm living with my parents while my house is being built. I walk out. there's a 3-foot span between here and the bathroom, and my dad catches him. Hey, baby, get over here. He had something about Mac Burks, and he needed to tell me. One thing about the show.
And his wife, and Gramps immediately stepped in and hitting on her. So, you know,
yeah, good. That's what he was going to tell me about. So another thing we do in the show is we have Sloan Peterson as a character who's, I'm supposed to find the best looking girl that I can. Mm-hmm. And so I find this girl. Now, remember, in my mind, because I had already gotten an email from the club letting them know it wasn't acceptable for young people to be there, I just assumed that everybody that was there that looked of age was 18. I just assumed that. And I found a girl who was, other than my girlfriend Katie, she was the hottest chick in the room. Are you comfortable enough to agree with that, Rob?
I a little too skinny for my taste there, Joe, but she was definitely an attractive young girl, yes.
Very pretty.
Yeah. So anyway, of course, she was 16. Now, I didn't know that when I picked her. I didn't know that. She could have easily been 17. My son's 17. He looks young. Yeah. I didn't know. And of course, I'm like, oh, I kind of sabotaged Justin a little bit. Of course, he made it work. But I had no idea that once I picked her, she was one of the earliest people that I picked. So then afterwards, I'm like, huh, I might have fucked that one up. You know, I might have screwed that up, which, of course, I did. And Justin had to go up there and go, now, how old are you? And then she said,
I think that made the show better, because, first of all, that is perfect casting. The character Sloan Peterson is in high school. She's probably 16.
You are correct. But, you know, she's hit on normally, not she, Sloan.
By a fellow teenager.
Right. But in real life, you do see a 38 year old man hitting on a 16 year old girl. That's really what you see. I mean, there is a reality to it. You know, if you're two actors in a movie, you still can't. It's still very uncomfortable there's a reality to it.
Well, no, the reality is that a high school kid, someone of Marty McFly's age, would hit on someone of Sloan's age. And also Justin Schlegel in real life would hit on Sloan, that girl.
True.
It's totally accurate. And he made a big joke about it, and it worked out. And they want us back. So look for us back there in the first quarter of 2018. JamandJava.com, awesome place. Rob and Joe, she'll be right back.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive f-ing show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Newly Dead Game and Sing for Your Life. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 19th at the DC Improv. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more information, please visit dielaughingproductions.com.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
So we have no Marcus Serta today. Can you tell a little bit about his situation, or is that not to be talked about yet, Robbie?
He said, tease it. I called him to talk about something unrelated, and he didn't answer. But then he called me back a few minutes later and said, "Sorry, I was in the middle of being pulled over by Homeland Security."
This better not be a Dr. Gill story where that's the story. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It better not be the story is I got pulled over. I've got taken out of line by Homeland Security randomly. If that's the end of the story, he's going to get some shit.
He better have been strip searched.
He had to have been.
So he came from Canada. Is that what happened?
Yes, he was crossing the border from Canada back into the U.S.
Good for him. Hey, can you play that Jim Amato promo? I forgot to remind you.
Thank you.
Is that at the ready?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And now, a tale from the deep with Rob and Joe. One day in New Orleans, a comedian and his girlfriend came upon a fascinating discovery.
We went to the aquarium. It was right next to our place. And they had mermaids. Joe, you ever seen a mermaid?
I've seen Mermelstein.
The beautiful mermaid beckoned, and as they came closer, their eyes locked. The mermaid then exclaimed,
"Hi, this is the internet, Steve Mermelstein."
Yes, it was the rare and elusive Mermelstein. They all lived happily ever after. For more stories of the deep, check out the Rob and Joe Show. Live tapings Monday nights at 7:30 Eastern at live.robandjoeshow.com.
Excellent job as always, Mr. Jim Amato.
Rob, do you know what the music is behind it?
No.
It's
what is it, Captain Chesapeake? I have no idea what
it is. It's Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
I didn't notice that.
He loves, he's detail guy, Amato. He gets every little detail. Robbie appreciates that.
Hasn't Mermelstein like not been present for a very, very long time? Is he like, why do they keep fucking with me? I mean, I'm not even involved anymore. They won't stop mentioning my name.
Yeah, if you look at our entry for last week's episode on the More R. Mike O'Mara Show page, you'll see I've photoshopped Mermelstein as a mermaid.
I also had them introduce me as the Mermelstein of comedy at the New Orleans thing. I mean, you talk about Gramps talking about Mac Bergson. At least Mac and him have you know, spoken online and conversed. I mean, Mermelstein's never said a word to us. Yeah, we've mentioned him 1,000 times.
Yeah, the only thing I know about Mermelstein is when he's on Marcus's show, all he says is, I didn't listen. He's right. Never even heard our show.
And it doesn't matter what we can talk about. What's our favorite ice cream? Well, what do you think, Steve? I didn't listen to the show. He can't give an opinion because we talked about, mint chocolate chip. But we love you, Mermelstein. We just like saying Mermelstein. It's just fun.
That is it. The key is his name. Steve Mermelstein, sure.
What?
Yes, call him.
Yes.
Let's see if I can do it.
You have his number?
I have him on Skype.
Okay.
Why?
Here we go.
Are you showing him online?
He didn't pick up.
Well, that was quick. Like,
geez.
Yes, he has us blocked like I do with Tim during Redskins games. Speaking of the Redskins game, real quick, this was funny. It was horrible if you're a fan, but I called Robbie about something unrelated at about 7 o'clock Sunday. The game had ended at about, 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And they choked away at the end and they lost. So Robbie says to me, don't say anything about the Redskins game, which I took it as meaning I don't want to talk about that debacle. Then I was like, oh, God, trust me, I won't.
That was a nightmare.
But you were watching it. So I basically told you what happened.
Yes.
By accident. Yeah.
Well, honestly, that's the biggest favor.
And if you were Tommy Sabazo, you would murder me, basically.
So I remember when Maryland blew an 11-point lead in 54 seconds. And, of course, it's called the Gone in 54-second game. It's been on ESPN Classic. I was there. It is the worst loss of my entire sports history. This loss this past week, I mean, it's in my top 10. 15 points under 6 minutes left. I mean, that's pretty bad.
There's seven things that had to go wrong that all did.
Everything had to perfectly go wrong in order for that loss to occur. That's anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I said to Danny Ruya, who thanks, by the way, who played a part in our murder mystery. Appreciate that. 106.7 The Fan, 10-2, Grand Danny. Because we were talking sports and stuff, and I said, yeah, Tawanda had asked me why I hadn't been playing MLB The Show. It's my favorite PlayStation game recently. I go, because I'm not over the Nets loss. It makes me think of that. And then I was like, I was thinking about buying the Hawk NHL game, but I'm not over the Caps loss back in May. So I can't even play a video game now because it reminds me of the real life of pain of our sports teams.
Yeah, it'd be tough to get on Madden right now and have, cousin to Dachshund. That'd be tough to do right now.
No, you really can't. Another funny thing that happened, I meant to tell this. So we've talked about Eric Woodworth doing a little side gig with the Uncensored 90 Rock Morning Show's live show that they do, where he's basically getting in his underwear. They do a trivia game, which ends up with a contestant, a listener's, face and Eric's, ass up against his underwear. So I'm sitting in the back in the green room with Justin and Danny. Justin's like, yeah. So at the Uncensored, I ended up getting my face like right up in Eric's ass, and woke up the next day, pink eye. So I start dying. I'm like, this. I literally said the words. This made my week. Tommy and Eric come in about 10 minutes later. I say, tell the story. He tells it. Tommy says, that made my week. It's like, this is our lives. This is the thing that brings us joy.
Yeah, I just was talking about that today. Pink eye is fecal matter in your eye. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so that means Eric's shit went in his eye. There's really no way around it.
None.
And he got a disease from Eric's shit.
So Justin is willing to put his face in Eric's ass, but this mom and her kids' friends weren't willing to watch him dance to Flashdance at our show. It's two Americas, folks. Did you talk to Black Phil after the show, Bobby?
Yeah, we chatted quite a bit.
Did he have a good time in the 30 minutes that he saw of it?
Yes,
he liked what he saw, but he really, I don't think he could fully put it in context. You know, he didn't.
Of course not. It's a story.
Yeah. But sometimes, you know, you come halfway through a movie. Sometimes you could at least pick up on what's happened. But I think it's really hard to appreciate all the jokes. You know what I mean? If you've come halfway through that.
Yeah, a very complex murder mystery. There's a lot of levels.
Sorry, that I do to Katie is I'll come in halfway through a movie she's been watching. I go, who's that guy? She goes, well, you learn who this person is an hour ago. You don't know who he is. Now I got to explain it to you, which is I should shut the hell up. That's the same thing that, you know, happens with Black Phil. Although all the characters that are there, they're all people that he knows. But I can't imagine Black Phil. You think he's seen Ferris Bueller?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that his age, of course.
Sorry. Well, that's an exclusively white thing.
I know it's inside again, but I want to do another shout out to former show announcer Tim Moran. You know, last week we made fun of him bringing a seat cushion to a sports bar. And one of his dear friends, this guy Patrick, who lives in Florida now, is a big listener of our show. Actually, Tim doesn't even listen. So Tim texts us, you motherfuckers, Patrick said you talked about the seat cushion. Yes. Patrick and Tim are in a gambling, a football betting pool together, and it's pretty high stakes. And I think we both know, Joe, that Patrick is probably the smarter of the gamblers.
This is probably.
Okay, definitely. So he's leaning on Patrick's expertise, and they've actually done pretty well in this. I think they made money last year. But Tim is concerned, Patrick, that you have a new girlfriend and that sexy woman that you're dating, that's going to take your focus away from what should be your focus, and that's making your four picks each week in your football pool with Tim Moran.
Well, I think they went 3-1 this week, so I don't think it makes a difference.
Okay. For you.
In chat, Tim's ass question.
Jesus, Tim's ass question is in chat. One thing I thought was interesting is Tim, he thinks it's so invasive for us to go on this show and talk about him having that seat cushion. One time I tweeted something that he said about the Nationals. You literally would have thought I'd called his mother a whore, right? So it's like there's a place where he draws lines, right? He's like, okay, that's not acceptable. And I guess us talking about the seat cushion. Meanwhile, he's in public with it. It's not a secret.
Right.
There's 300 people in that bar. Yes, there might be more listeners, but those people can physically see him with the seat cushion.
Joe,
they see us. It's out there in the ether. They don't know what Tim looks like, nor do they know what the seat cushion looks like, nor do they know the seat. These people see the whole ensemble.
And by the way, the keynote story was more embarrassing, but I guess Patrick didn't tell him about that. So we played trivia the other night, Joe. We didn't do too well. But before I got there, you missed a question by how much was it?
I missed a question. Robbie, I missed a question by 270 trillion. That's what I was off by.
Do you care to guess the question, Robbie?
Yeah, you want to take a guess, Robbie, at the question?
No.
Well, it can only be a hand. I think it's not very, you know, I mean, it could be, you know, gallons of water in the ocean. It could be stars in the sky. It could be sand on the beach. There's only so many things it could be, right?
Yeah.
So the question was, what is the economy of the globe.
Global.
Right, the global economy in U.S. dollars. Mm-hmm. That was the question. And obviously, I gave a big hint as to the answer, but I think our national debt is $13 trillion, I think. I'm like, well, that money doesn't exist. So I'm like, well, what could it be, $15 trillion? That's what we came up with, $15 trillion. I think it's $285 trillion is the actual answer.
But you actually got close enough to get points.
We got points. Yes. That means that the worst I've ever been, the worst I've ever guessed, it's the most I've ever been off in the history of me answering any questions. I still scored better than all but, so four teams, five team gets points, but the team that gets the closest gets a free shot. So that means I might have even been better than some of the other guesses. At the very worst, I was fifth. I could have done better. There was 30 teams playing.
Thanksgiving is this week. Are you guys doing the normal, the Gramps get together?
Yeah, it's going to be me and Katie, Robbie and his girlfriend, Black James, and we mentioned him on the show before, and his family, Erica, friend Erica will be there, Gramps and Aunt Tish. I think that's it. Or Aunt Mom, as she's called on this show. I think that's it. Right, Robbie?
Yes, that's it.
My sisters do every other year. And of course, we haven't had, it was, what was it, 3 years ago? But you are having Thanksgiving at your house. Correct, Rob?
Yes, we are having Tawana's family over. It's not a big family. It's her parents, her sister. I don't even know if her sister's husband's coming. I think he goes to his mom. And then her niece, and then her sister just had a newborn. So there's, a baby. So
are you cooking? We'll have you're cooking a turkey?
Yeah, Tawana cooks a turkey. I'll make some cranberry sauce, which isn't too hard to do. Some cranberries
just
and some.
The can.
No. I get the real cranberries.
You do?
Simmer
Why?
It with some, because it's amazing. It's like 10 times better, and it takes about 15 minutes. It's just some orange juice and cranberries, and it's not hard. It takes 15, 20 minutes. Well, then you let it cool. But it's so much better. I don't know why you wouldn't do it. And I'll make some.
Well, I'm not doing it because I'm not cooking anything. By the way, Grant just said in chat that you're afraid to bring Tawana back to the house again.
It's true.
I am. Exactly. Can't stop talking about it. I'll make some Brussels sprouts, too. I am I'm curious. What would Gramps rather have? Mac Bergson and his family at the house for Thanksgiving or $500?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Of course it's
not. That's not, please. Insulting to ask me a question like that. You better up the stakes.
$2,000.
See, you're getting into the kind of amount of money that it might make sense. But my father, he lived life. He has $2,000.
Sure.
That's not an amount of money, although he is very frugal, extremely frugal. But I do believe that he would rather have Mac Bergson at... yes, Gramps just said in chat, Mac's family. It's a no-brainer. Mac's family over 2,000. 2,000 ain't going to do it. Now, if he has to spend 2,000 to have Mac's family here, that's different than
that's
if he's
different.
Given 2,000 right. to not have them. So if somebody says you can either have Mac's family or 2,000, I'm positive it's Mac's family. You'd have to get up into the fives in order for it to start, Actually, Gramps is in chat. He can give us the number. What's the number? That this is an amount of money. You can have that instead of Mac's family.
Okay, I'm going to say $10,000.
No,
I'm
that's
say
too
five. Hard. Now $5,000.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to go $4,999 and see what we come up with.
All right, Gramps, give us the answer.
He had to have heard us talking about this.
I think
he's still thinking about it.
I think whatever it is, he will use that money to buy Mac Bergson's family something.
Look,
so
Gramps right.
said $10,000, $10,000.
All right. Would you have Mac Bergson's family over if it meant you also had to have Chris Restivo's family over?
Well, what about that, Dad? It's a good question. I believe that the answer is going to be yes, but I guess the delay, Robbie?
You have to have five Chris Restivos, not his family.
Hold on. Let's give him – don't jump. Don't up the ante yet until we see this answer because he might say no Restivo. See, that's crazy because my Gramps would take $9,000 to have Chris Restivo at Thanksgiving. So if he paid 10, that what I mean? So I know that he would have Restivo to have Mac. I know that he would, although for some reason he can't type Y or N in chat. I'm not quite sure why.
How many?
Oh, God. The worst possible answer is what was just given. How could that situation exist? Gramps, how long have you been listening to this show?
It's a hypothetical. Gramps.
Gosh, come on, Dad. The question is, would you be willing to have Chris Restivo at Thanksgiving if it also meant that Mac's family would be there? That's the question. Would you be willing to do that, yes or no? Go ahead, Rob. What were you going to say while we wait?
I was going to say, which one of his family members would he trade out to have Mac's family?
Huh. Okay, so Gramps won't give a serious answer. He said if I could leave Restivo out on the deck. Okay, so you're saying, Gramps, I'm just making sure I understand this, because you can't leave Chris Restivo out on the deck. So you're saying in order to not have Chris Restivo in the house means Mac can't be in the house. By the way, he's not answering it. That's not true. He would have Chris Restivo here if he meant he could have Mac's family here. So since he's not answering seriously, I guess we can't do this.
I think he would trade out. I think he'd trade you and Katie out, Joe.
He wouldn't trade me and Katie out. He wouldn't trade Robbie out. He wouldn't trade my sister. He wouldn't trade any of us out. But he would, I'm positive that he would have Chris Restivo here if he could have Mac's family here. I know that he would.
Well, he would say to you, handle him. Joe, control Restivo.
No, he said no.
So my dad said yes. He would let him come. So yes, that's the case. Now, here's what I want to know. So Chris Restivo's coming, but he's also going to lead the family in grace. So he's leading the family in grace. He's coming, but that means Mac's family could come. Gramps, yes or no? I need to know where the actual line is drawn.
Yeah. And instead of watching football, he's going to do comedy.
He's going to do 45 minutes of comedy.
Is he answered that yet? Because I have another one.
No. He said yes. So yes, okay. Chris Restivo gets to say grace. Chris Restivo gets to come. What are you adding now?
Would you allow... Hold on. I got distracted by Irwin's nothing. Would you allow Mac Berkson's family to come over, but admit, Gramps, you couldn't eat a single thing or drink anything other than water all day?
So this is no Restivo. It's just... This Mac Berkson is here.
You're sitting at the table, all that food, and you're just sitting there.
But Gramps doesn't drink water, so that's right. By the way, I think he'd do that, right?
That would suck.
He said yes. Okay.
All right, Mac.
I'm not sure if I believe that.
No, of course. I would do that. I would. If Mac Berkson said, I can come, but you got to drink all water, I would say, sure, okay, I'll drink water. I'll just eat turkey the next day.
How many people in the world that aren't family or dear friends that he knows, like me, for example, could just knock on Gramps' door and just immediately sit down and be eating Thanksgiving dinner?
Almost anybody.
No question asked.
A lot, yeah.
A stranger, anybody. A homeless person?
Yes.
We've had some oddities at our Thanksgiving table
before. Yeah, we've had it very strange. Remember the one time some random black family from church was there? Do you remember that?
Two times they were there.
Yeah. I don't remember their names, but they were there. Oh, Black Phil, that was it. Black Phil and his wife.
Let's take a break. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it, so should you. Now, back to the Rob and Joe show.
Thank you, Gramps. I did a podcast this past week. I think it's a great idea. Chris Milner. I know you know him, Joe. He's a comedian at DC. He's a British guy.
He's funny.
Really funny. So he had this idea for a podcast, and he's been recording probably 50 in the can now before he releases it. He had never seen of the show Seinfeld. So he thought it would be a funny idea to have a guest on each week, and he'll watch Seinfeld in order. So I'll introduce the guest, set up the episode, you watch it, which isn't part of the podcast, but you watch it, then you start recording again and you talk about the podcast. Talk about that episode. Excuse me.
He's 50 episodes in?
Well, he's in season 4 now.
Yeah, 4, right.
Yeah. So it's called What's the Deal with Seinfeld? It's a great idea. So you know, I did it. I went to his apartment and I did the podcast and we watched two episodes. The first one was where they were all trying to go see the movie Checkmate. And Jerry tried to do a set somewhere and he got bumped. And then, you know, Kramer's supposed to wait in line, but he saw some like gyro across the street he wanted to eat. And then they got all separated.
Oh, yeah. And George ended up in Rochelle.
Yes, and then George
yes, I
kept
do
going.
Remember that.
The ticket stub guy wouldn't let George back in, even though they just kept having this conversation. So you don't remember me? The rules are rules. So, but it occurred to me watching this entire episode, if you have a cell phone, there's no episode. It's all fixed with just texting each other.
You know, I saw something recently where they said all the things that could not happen given technology. Basically, cell phones, you're right, take away a lot of these misunderstandings that yes. occur. Three's Company, too. That show wouldn't exist. Have existed with the cell
right.
phone. Yeah, it doesn't exist.
So then we watched the very next episode was the one where Babu, Elaine has Jerry's mail because he's out of town. She forgets to give it back to him, and in it was a notice that he needed to fill out. So he gets deported. Yes. And it's also the one with the Asian lawyer who George goes on a date with. She thinks is funny. He doesn't want Jerry to be there because Jerry's going to be too funny. They end up meeting at the restaurant. He yes. tells Jerry to not be funny. He goes real dark and serious. Now she likes that. And yeah, she representing
likes him 'cause he's
dark. Yes. She's representing Peng, who was going to sue Elaine because of, you remember that whole, the Chinese delivery kid. That's
I think she had him delivering to a place that he wasn't supposed to, or she faked a residence. I'm trying to remember why she was suing her. She got hit on his car or something. Oh, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
So she was going to drop all this because she hit it off with the gang, and she was going to talk to somebody in the deportation office or whatever. That's a thing. But then George says to her, no, Jerry's really funny. I'm the dark one. I'm dark. That's what you want. If you want dark, I'm the darkest there is. And she's like, these people are fucking weird. And everything is back on the lawsuit. And then Babu is stuck in Pakistan. So I'm talking to Chris about it afterwards. And he's like, yeah, it started off. This is, you know, one of my favorite episodes so far. It's hilarious. But right now, you know what he's facing in real life? Being deported back to England. And it's like, it got too real for me. I couldn't enjoy it because this is literally happening to me in my life right now. Like literally like this year, it could happen in December. And I was like, yeah, sorry.
How did he get here on a work visa?
Yeah, well, he's actually married to an American woman, but I don't want to get into the details, but there is some sort of legal situation back home, I think, which complicates things. But yes.
Does he talk about it on his own podcast?
He talked about that he's facing that. I don't know if he gave the reason.
So does he like Seinfeld?
Yes, he likes it very much. Yeah, he's loving it. Yeah. But what's the deal with Seinfeld? Check it out. I think it's he just released it. So
I'm definitely going to watch that. You know, listen. Wouldn't you? I think about this a lot. I just watched True Detective with my son a few months back, and I don't get to experience how much I love some of these shows. I never get to, you know, like you're going to rewatch Breaking Bad, but you're never going to get what you got out of the first time you watched it.
Right.
But if somebody else, you get to experience it with them.
Yes.
You know, how do you like to be watching Seinfeld for the very first time?
No, it's awesome. I love watching something with someone, Tawanda or a friend that I love, and it's their first time watching it. Yes. I do love that.
I love to do that. Back in the day when Back to the Future first came out and people were still kind of unaware of it, I would take people to go see that movie and watch it with them. I love that.
It's a whole new experience.
How many times did you see Back to the Future when it initially came out?
I think about a dozen times.
Jeez, are you serious?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen another movie two times in the theater?
I saw Die Hard three times. And I think I saw Lethal Weapon 2 and Pulp Fiction. I saw all those three times in the theater.
I've seen Lawrence of Arabia three times in the theater.
Yeah, but you didn't see it when it came. Never mind.
Jesus. Now I don't even see a movie one time. I did watch The Burbs.
You told me that. You're watching The Burbs. But I still go to the movies frequently. I'll go see the Justice League.
Yeah, I finally watched Batman versus Superman, and it was okay, whatever.
You know, it's going to be tough for me to watch a movie that everybody said sucks. I probably will never see that movie.
Well, you're going into with expectations. I mean, it was the first time Wonder Woman was, you know, introduced, and she was good in it. So, it's worth watching. I watched it in two viewings. But Ben Affleck is already saying that he wants to back out of Batman, and now they're guessing who the next Batman might be. There's a rumor that whoever's directing the movie that's called The Batman, that he's eyeballing Jake Gyllenhaal for a trilogy of upcoming Batman movies. Do you like the idea of Jake Gyllenhaal as the Batman?
So I love Jake Gyllenhaal, and they've done a pretty good job of getting, like, Christian Bale. By the way, he's in a new movie, and I can't remember who he's playing, but it's somebody everybody knows, and he weighs about 260 pounds. Have you seen that?
Dick Cheney, I think.
That's a Dick Cheney, right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this guy, I mean, he's probably, but they've gotten really good actors to play. I mean, Ben Affleck used to be a punchline, but it ends up he's serviceable at least. He's obviously
he's good actor.
Yeah. A great director, yeah, and a pretty damn good actor. Yeah, pretty damn good actor. But he's not Christian Bale. But I also don't think they're not making those kind of movies anymore. Christopher Nolan's not coming walking through that door. And one of the things is DC, they don't seem to figure it out. And I think about a guy like Jake Gyllenhaal or a guy like Johnny Depp, who they appear to be artists. You know, I mean, these are the guys who try to, you know, reshape themselves in order to play whatever these characters are. They just don't look like people that are doing the money grabs that are kind of necessary for you to be in that mindset in order to be in one of these films. So, I mean, I'm not saying he won't do it. Maybe they'll come with a script that he loves, but it doesn't sound like him. It doesn't.
I think they should go with Michael Keaton.
Well, here's some other potential ones. Now, he played Bane, which maybe that makes it weird, but Tom Hardy.
I don't see how you make that work.
Yeah, me either.
All right, Jude Law.
Yes.
He's a little old, right? How old is Jude Law?
I bet he's 50 now.
Yeah,
around there.
Yeah, I don't see it. Idris Elba.
You know, I knew they were going to throw in a black Batman. I knew it. I wish I had said it. I almost said it before you started reading it, but I knew they were going to say, all right, well, let's be PC. Black man. Now, I mean, it's like Luke Cage. If you cast him, is he going to have a white guy just so you can be... Yeah. Okay, that's the character.
Well, but part of Luke Cage's character is that that's part of... Anyway, I love the idea of Idris Elba as James Bond, by the way. I think that that totally works. You know, he's a good-looking, smooth...
British
guy. Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. And I think that'll happen. John,
listen, I don't really care. I really don't. But there is a character that is traditionally something, you know, and I feel like they say, all right, well, we're going to force our narrative on you. But I don't care either. You're absolutely right. I don't care.
It did bother me when they made the Human Torch black in one of the Fantastic Four movies.
I want James Bond to be British, that or at least.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? I'm changing my stance. I actually am okay with that. Because their race has really nothing to do with whether or not that character works. They can't be poor and be black and be Batman, but you can be black.
Yes. John Hamm.
Oh, that would work. All right. Now you're piquing my interest. John Hamm would be a good Batman.
I like John Hamm.
Army Hammer.
Sure.
Yeah. A
little boring.
Okay. I don't know who this person is. Edgar Ramirez.
Oh,
I guess
yeah.
I guess I'd have to see a picture of him. Who is he?
I don't know. I know
that name. Don't you want a wow factor when you when you hear the name? God, I'm looking at Edgar Ramirez. What have I seen him in?
I don't know if you need a wow factor, because I do like the idea of you see Batman and you're not automatically thinking of some other character. Like Ben Affleck, you don't think Batman.
Here's the movies that Edgar Ramirez has been in. Point Break, the remake. Hands of Stone, I guess he played Roberto Duran. Joy, who made the self-ringing mop. The Girl on the Train with Mrs. John Krasinski. Deliver Us from Evil, that's his film. So,
What about Luke Evans, best known as the bad guy in Fast and the Furious 6? No idea who that is. All right, how about these people we know? Michael Fassbender.
No, you know Luke Evans. That guy, I'm looking at his picture. I've seen him in a bunch of things, but I don't. But anyway, go ahead. Who's the last guy you just said?
You know what? I do know Luke Evans. Yeah. He's not bad. Michael Fassbender.
I like Fassbender, but he's already playing a Marvel character. Yeah. It would be weird. You know what I mean? By the way, yeah. So is Idris Elba. He's in the Thor movies.
True. Colin Farrell.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's too late.
Yeah. All right.
You know, Keanu. And also, they just put Colin Farrell in the new True Detective. And I mean, it's not necessarily his performance, but I mean, he wasn't compelling enough to make that work.
Yeah, I agree. Keanu Reeves.
I don't know.
Sure. I'll buy that.
No.
I won't.
Really?
Yes.
I wanted to keep making the John Wicks.
Can you do both?
No, you can't. Hiroku Sanada, Japanese actor.
Oh, come on. I mean, I guess at this point, I mean, you know, but his name is Bruce Wayne. Can he be Asian? I mean, give me black. I'm fine with that. I've come full circle.
And change it to Bruce Wang.
I'll skip around here. A Channing Tatum.
Boring.
I mean, he's almost too big. Yeah. You know what I mean? Physically. It can't be, John Barenthal, right? It has to be somebody. You can't look like a billionaire and also look like a roid head.
You got Michael B. Jordan, but he's, that's Creed, and he's in the Black Panther with Chadwick Boseman is also on there. He is the Black Panther. That can't happen. Jason Bateman.
Okay. No. I like that.
Okay.
Oscar Isaac.
Yes, I know who that is. Yeah.
Ryan Gosling.
Stop.
Yeah, I mean, Gosling is another guy who... Gosling, although he's done some kind of, you know, like box office movies, he has done a few of those, like the Steve Carell movies where he's the love interest to, you know, the redheaded chick who just won the Oscar, whatever her name is. But he is a great actor.
No, he's good. But I don't know. I think I like Gyllenhaal still. After
Bateman is my favorite of the people you mentioned.
Come on.
What do you mean? Well, wait a minute. Listen, that's the same thing we were saying when they picked Michael Keaton. He was a comedic actor, yes, and he fucking made it work. And I'm telling you, everything this guy's in works. And he also, you know, he's very like much like the Clint Eastwoods of the world or the Nicholsons in the world that you like him. He's who you like, not who he becomes, because he's Jason Bateman in the roles that he plays. He's not like Daniel Day-Lewis or he's some chameleon where he leaves no imprint of himself on these roles. You know, when he does Ozark, he's the same guy that was in, help me out, the sitcom that got canceled, was so great. Yeah, what's the matter with me? Arrested Development.
He's not the same guy. He's much darker.
Right, but he's still a little shticky, and he's same quirks. I don't know. It looked very... very similar to me in that we're watching Jason Bateman. He just obviously it's more serious shit that's happening to him in this than was happening to him in the last time we saw him.
Well, obviously, okay, Daniel Day-Lewis is too old now, but would you have liked to see him play Batman in his younger days?
Listen, you could look, please. In younger days, listen, I'm telling you right now, Daniel Day-Lewis could go in there and do it better than anybody. He would. He'd never be Batman. He would. I mean, let's be serious.
But would that ruin his credibility?
No. Well, first of all, you can't ruin his credibility. You can't. He would go make it whatever it needed to be. You couldn't ruin his credibility. But he would also, he's not, it's not that he couldn't do it. He could do it and he could do it exceptionally. He wouldn't do it. He would never do that.
Yeah, I realize he wouldn't, but that's why I'm saying, would you want him to do that? No, you know, because it's a compromise for him.
Well, he did Gangs in New York. I mean, he's done movies that were for the masses, you know, that were for box office. He has done that. Not too much. But he's the one that wouldn't do it. It's not that we wouldn't want to see it. You think Christian Bale gave anything of himself in terms of credibility when he did the Christopher Nolan movies? No. He's been, after that, he did The Fighter and he won an Oscar. I mean, he's just an outstanding actor and he happened to do these great films. Now, Christopher Nolan, again, he's not walking through that door, so we get what we get. But if Daniel Day-Lewis decided to do it, people wouldn't say, oh my God, I can't believe he stooped. They go, oh, this is going to be some shit. That's exactly, people would get excited. They wouldn't look at it like, oh my God, this guy compromised himself.
Would you want him to do a equalizer taken kind of role?
Yes.
Yeah, he could be, of course. And by the way, you know, he
I'm
is
not,
a
I'm not saying could he. I'm asking, would you want him to do
yes, I would want him to I'd do like anything. To the other thing is the people that work with him, they say he literally is the most terrifying person that you could be around. It would be what he listen, I'm telling you right now, and Liam Neeson is so great in Taken. He's so great. He's like a guy they said, all right, well, awesome. You're born to play this role. I'm telling you, Daniel Day-Lewis, he could pull it off the exact same way. You know, he did a movie called The Fighter, where he's The Boxer, where he basically trained to box. And, you know, I guarantee you, that's a guy you wouldn't want to have fought when that movie was being filmed.
I would love that. What about, Jesus, what's his name? Leonardo DiCaprio as Batman.
I don't know, man. I think he's too much of a movie star in order to. I think we need somebody not
Ben
like
Affleck
that.
Can do it. Leo can do it.
Yeah. Well, no, Leo can. He can do it. He wouldn't be as good as Daniel Day-Lewis. Let's be serious.
What about Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, I mean, but Jamie Foxx has also been. He's been in some of the Marvel movies. I mean, yeah, Jamie Foxx. Any of these great actors could pull it off. They could. They could pull it off. I'm not going to say Leo couldn't. He did The Revenant. He could certainly be Batman. I mean, he could certainly do that. It's a matter of what do I want to see.
Well, I want to see Joe Robinson as the Batman.
Maybe. I don't know. They haven't called.
Yeah.
Good
show, guys.
Is choice one. If that's going to be taken seriously, then that's going to be what I'm rooting for. Although that's the last name you mentioned.
That's a horrible choice. Good show, guys. It's the Moto Show. We recorded it already. So for you Patreons, hop on board and get involved because we have some awesome shows on there, little as $5 a month. And again, we're putting all this money towards the new studio that will go in Joe's house, which he moves into basically at Christmas. So a big end of the year here for the Rob and Joe Show. If you're in Annapolis, that's Wednesday night. We'll be at the Ramshead. Justin, myself, Joe, Donnie Singstack, Frankie French, 8 p.m. The Ramshead on stage. And then we got 3 murder mysteries in December. The Improv, Funny Bone, NVA Beach, and Magoobies. Check out dielaughingproductions.com. Have a wonderful and amazing Thanksgiving. And Mac Bergson, we wish you were here. Later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.